Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. A passenger jet with an engine problem made an emergency landing yesterday afternoon at Fairbanks International Airport. An airport news release issued last night says none of the 189 people on board the Delta Airlines plane was injured. It says airport authorities were notified around 2:15 p.m. Tuesday that the Airbus 350-900 was en route from Detroit to Seoul, South Korea, and suffering engine trouble. Emergency service personnel with airport police and fire and the university fire department were on standby as the airliner touched down around 3:45 p.m. Airport staff worked with Explore Fairbanks, the city's tourism promotion organization, and Delta Airlines to arrange overnight lodging for the passengers. Airline officials said a replacement plane was on the way to pick up the diverted passengers and take them on to Seoul. The Alaska legislature convened in Juneau yesterday, and the Senate majority stripped three Matsu Republicans of their committee chairmanships. KTOO's Rasha McChesney reports.
At its core, the Senate Majority Caucus fractured over the permanent fund dividend amount, though none of the members who were stripped of their leadership positions on Tuesday have formally left the caucus.
We stood for the permanent fund dividend, and right now it's not, I don't think it looks all that good for it.
That's Wasilla Republican Mike Schauer. Schauer, Palmer Republican Shelley Hughes, and Eagle River Republican Laura Reinbold broke from their caucus on a vote that set last year's dividend amount. Each wants a dividend funded under the traditional formula set in state law. Senate President Kathy Geisel says there are rules to being in the 14-member majority caucus, and legislators agree to them when they join.
It's just like sitting in the exit row on a jet. You choose to sit on that exit row. There are rules you have to follow.
Those committee leadership positions the senators lost, they control legislation and are instrumental in power brokering in the Capitol. Reinbold says there has been a dramatic shift in power in the Senate.
I believe this is a defining moment in the history of Alaska where there's a major shift to the left.
This isn't the first time Reinbold has been punished for voting against the budget. In 2015, while she was a representative, she was stripped of most of her committee assignments after voting against the operating budget in the House. Hughes has tangled with her caucus in the past as well. In 2017, she voted against the budget. She and then-Senator Mike Dunleavy left the majority in order to do so. Governor Mike Dunleavy, in a Tuesday morning interview, said that it can be difficult for legislators to balance the caucus's needs against their own.
They owe their loyalty to their constituents. The caucus construct was developed to help run business. When the caucus concept runs well, it runs well. It works for everybody. Sometimes it doesn't. But that's a decision that the current legislature is going to have to decide if they're having questions about their caucus system.
Geisel said after the vote that she's not expecting any more changes. In Juneau, I'm Rasha McChesney.
A Fairbanks North Star Borough School District board meeting was heavily attended last night as the board considered a proposed elective LGBTQ literature class for 11th and 12th graders. As KUAC's Robin reports, there were voices for and against the class.
Every chair was filled, even the extra ones put out by a security guard, and folks were standing along the back of the room and crowding the door. The curriculum updates, including new electives in English and history, weren't even on the school board's agenda. But because Tuesday was the deadline for comment to the district's curriculum committee, Board of Education President Wendy Dominique allowed nearly 2 hours of testimony on this year's changes to social studies and language arts classes.
Please be respectful to one another when you come and make your testimony.
And mostly they were. Not everyone understood that the proposed English class on LGBT literature is an elective. But for some, like Lance Roberts and Gail McBride, that didn't matter.
Quite saddened to see that the school district was pushing an agenda of bringing pornography into the classroom.
This is a controversial, personal, sexual nature, and we do not believe that it has a place in the school.
Many commented that homosexual, transsexual, and intersex students need to see themselves reflected in literature and history. Here are Zakiya Mitchell and Violet Hallowell.
If we intentionally choose not to implement LGBT curriculum, we are advocating for abstinence of education. What do children stand to gain from deprivation of knowledge? Neglecting to teach children about the world around them does not aid them when the time comes for navigating it.
Sometimes when I talk about transgender issues, people say to me that they just can't understand. They mean that they can't accept a universe in which transgender people exist. Because if we exist, then life is cruel, nature is random. morality is ambiguous, and God makes the sun rise and the rain fall upon the just and the unjust alike.
Melanie Hadaway, the Executive Director of Teaching and Learning for the district, explained that all 11th and 12th graders must take an American literature class, which includes African and Native American works, and one other literature elective. Already in the curriculum are electives for British and Holocaust literature and a world literature survey and a Shakespeare class. The committee's draft sets up new classes for LGBTQ, but also for women's literature, Asian American, and Latin American works, or not.
The question that we were seeking feedback on was, do we want separate courses or more of an umbrella course? The proposed title was Social Themes in Literature, which would encompass several electives.
But that seemed too much for commenter Blake Burley.
We can't have Muslim literature and KKK literature and Antafia literature and Jewish literature and white male European literature. We've got to draw the line somewhere.
The curriculum committee will review the comments and present either a third draft or a final version to the Board of Education later this spring. The board will then hold a public hearing before debating final approval. In Fairbanks, I'm Robin.
An Anchorage attorney who's made his name and fortune successfully fighting major North Slope oil companies is behind a ballot initiative which will put an oil tax restructure question before voters. As the Alaska Energy Desk's Nat Herz reports, Robin Brenna has long advocated for tax changes aimed at increasing state oil revenue.
Last year, Brenna became the financial backer of the campaign to take the question directly to voters. He's carefully studied Alaska's oil tax system and budgets, and he's convinced the state isn't getting what he calls its fair share from the oil companies. Brenna feels like since the last major rewrite of state oil tax law in 2013, Alaskans have been getting industry spin. And with more information from his side, he's convinced voters will make a different choice.
Alaskans don't know all the details, perhaps, because they can't be known, because we're treated like mushrooms. You know, we're kept in a dark room and we're fed cow manure.
Publicly, Brenna is most comfortable talking about the details of tax rates and royalties, not his personal finances. But he's also a very successful businessman. In addition to his own law offices, Brenna's company owns 8 other office buildings around town. It wasn't always that way, though. Brenna grew up in the tiny southeast gold rush town of Skagway, where his father ran a bar. His father died when Brenna was 12, and Brenna says he started working to support his family.
If there's a job on the railroad, I've done it.
After high school, many of Brenna's friends went to work construction on the Trans-Alaska Pipeline. Brenna went to college and then spent a decade accumulating graduate degrees, a Master's of Business Administration, a law degree, and a Master's of Law in Real Estate Development and Finance. Then he started work as an attorney back in Alaska, and by the mid-1980s was working on oil and gas litigation. Ultimately, Brenna got involved in 2 sets of big cases against Alaska's major oil companies. One over how much the companies could charge others to ship oil down the Trans-Alaska Pipeline, and another over how much the pipeline was valued for property tax purposes. Attorney General Kevin Clarkson is one of Brenna's former law partners.
The owners of the pipeline, those companies hired the best they could find across the country, and they brought them to Alaska to litigate against Robin Brenna, and he beat them every time.
Brenna says the cases brought hundreds of millions of dollars to his clients, which, according to Clarkson, means they were worth millions of dollars to Brenna himself. Since last year, Brenna has spent more than $100,000 on the oil tax initiative.
My personal commitment to Alaskans is I'm going to do everything I can to give you a choice about your own future.
He won't say exactly how much he'll ultimately spend on the initiative in the face of what will likely be a multi-million dollar opposition campaign from the oil industry. In Anchorage, I'm Nat Herz.
And I'm Dan Bross.